are recording.
Okay, so it's 6:08 on Wednesday, September 21. I call this meeting of the airport, National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods?
Here.
Secretary Holland?
Here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Okay, so public input as it pertains to the agenda tonight. Going once, going twice, okay. Minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of July 27, 2022. Anyone want to make a motion?
Put forward a motion to approve the minutes for July 27, 2022.
Second. And discussion? Okay. So, everybody who wishes to approve the minutes of July 27, 2022, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that motion carries. Communications, it looks like on August 24, we had some communications with Weston and Sampson. Chris, do you have anything on that?
Well, has everybody had a chance to review it? I sent this to all the directors. It's just part of the ongoing investigation, the PFAS investigation, specifically the supplemental site investigation. And it seems to not to have a lot of choice in the matter in terms of moving forward on this. We've already incurred some expenses from the preliminary site walk and the planning for the next steps in the investigation. So that's why I sent it out there to get a look at it, and you can see what the cost of this phase is going to be, approximately $36,595.
And these are all out of our pocket?
Yep.
Is there anybody guiding this process? Is there any sort of like glide path as to where this goes or what the next $36,000 thing is? Or is there...
We've contracted Weston Sampson, and they'll be doing all the reporting to NHDES. And unfortunately, we're being required to do this by NHDES, who got a grant to come after us, but we don't have a grant to work with for this.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Wes?
I'm just curious. The actual landowner is the city of Nashua. The airport leases the land from the city. Is the city really responsible?
I seem to remember floating that once, and that's...
We talked about that initially.
Yeah, yeah, because we have the 99-year lease, we're responsible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So then I was going to comment, to Director Duquette, unfortunately, it's like this thing could go on indefinitely because what they might ultimately do is that after their various evaluations and $36,000 bills and stuff like that, they'll mandate that we embark on a program of periodic monitoring. So they'll come take samples every now and then and process them and report to the EES and send us a bill. And there's not necessarily any end to that process.
And the other thing that I'll mention is right from the beginning of this process, EES, New Hampshire DES, Department of Environmental Services, told us that there'll be ongoing permitting. So whatever the cost associated with permitting for this investigation will go on for a long time, I would imagine. Their only term was ongoing. So.
Yes, is additional testing planned for PFAS?
Yes, that's what all this plan is all about. They'll be taking more samples, reviewing all the samples that have already been taken, and setting up sites for new test wells, monitoring wells as well.
Do you see this continuing indefinitely at this point?
That's kind of what the indication is at this point.
Yeah, and this, you know, this is all because they codified into state law is, you know, is a requirement that this PFAS contamination levels for any kind of standing water are the same as those for drinking water sources. Wes?
Is there any known remediation for PFAS?
I asked that question, and there is no approved remediation, you know, as of this point.
Over by the factory that got all this started, I guess they're sending bottled water to the houses in the area, but I don't think airplanes need bottled water.
No. We had a meeting, we had a con call with DES some time ago when I asked about remediation. They said there's no approved remediation process at this time.
Okay. Is the AFFF the source that possibly could be in play? I mean, is there any other possible materials that could?
There's all kinds of materials that could come from and that it's found in. And examples are coated products, food containers,
right,
pizza boxes.
I mean, sources they'd be looking specifically at the airport.
Well, at the airport, they're specifically going after airports for AFFF.
Right.
But as we all know, PFAS is found in your toothbrush, found in dental floss.
During
the rain, every time it rains, yeah, it's dropping PFAS on the ground.
Right.
So I have not signed this latest contract to move forward. I wanted to have the board have a chance to review it. So I guess I'm looking for permission to continue with this, seeing that it's a $36,000 expense.
Has council looked at this? Has Steve Bolton or any of those guys?
Well, he was on with it at the beginning with us.
Okay, I didn't mean to know the specific.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have much of a
Another
thing that's a little bit convenient about this is that only certain engineering firms are anointed to conduct these kinds of studies. You know, they're anointed by NHDES. So, not like we've got a lot of choices.
Is there legal action that could be taken? I mean, obviously, we don't necessarily want to pay a huge amount of money out to file a suit with New Hampshire DES or something like that, but it seems like if it's open-ended and there is no remediation, and maybe there's some issue with the fact that there's only a certain number of contractors that can actually do the work, it seems like there might be some concerns there legally.
I think that there could be, but for the moment, you know, codified in the state law that NHDES can compel us to, you know, to do this and hire one of their approved firms.
What is the enforcement mechanism, and like, do they fine us every day we don't comply with this? How is that written?
I don't recall what the actual stick was, so I'd have to go look at that.
Maybe like, is Gail running into any of this anywhere else? Is this sort of a thing that's in the wind there? Or?
Well, if it's not related to a project, we don't typically get involved with our other clients, but the larger airports certainly are having similar issues.
The EPA grant with these START programs are targeting airports, and at least as far as New Hampshire goes, airports in New Hampshire. And they put the onus on New Hampshire DES to move forward with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was one of Senator Hassan's big campaign points a couple of years ago when she was
What?
If there are multiple engineering firms, was there a competitive bid process for doing this work?
No.
Okay.
But there aren't, as far as we know, we've only come up with one engineering firm that was licensed to do this. And their initial fee seemed reasonable.
Okay.
And we were kind of under the gun to see how to start this. I was also told that Pease had, I believe it was Weston Sampson as well, out of Pease. Mm-hmm. So that's who the airports are using, is Weston Sampson.
Well, because DES is involved, I think there are state rules about that. And I'm not.
There may be, Wes, and I can't can't really tell you. We got hooked up with Western Sampson, and again, their initial proposal seemed very reasonable to dig into it. Doesn't mean moving forward, if we think it's totally outrageous, we can't look around for another engineering firm. And I consulted with Nick about the fees. One of the things we talked about were the borings, the test wells, something we would negotiate against. We thought they were a little higher than that. But the rest of the quote, I guess you would call it, seemed reasonable.
Is this something we should put into the budget?
I think we're...
To some magnitude,
I think we're going to have to budget for it.
I'm sorry, I skipped one thing, treasurer's report, but David East, our treasurer, obviously isn't here tonight, so...
Sounds like you have two choices, do it now or do it now.
Is there a date?
They have been sending me emails asking for progress reports, what is the timeline? DES.
Yeah, they haven't sent like hard timelines like aeronautics tends to send to us, you know, have XYZ for us in 30 days kind of thing.
They wanted this all started in the spring. And we were going back and forth with Weston Sampson on pricing and what they were actually going to do. And we approved them to move forward with it. And now DES is saying, well, we need their timeline. It's the one they're really going to start, you know, the testing process, monitoring.
Anyway, let's move on.
Were you looking for a motion and a vote here?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that a motion or is that just an administrative thing? Do we have to vote on that? Or when in doubt, shout it out, I guess.
Yeah. Would it be worthwhile to...
Just let you all know.
Would it be worthwhile to revisit this with the city council?
I would like to keep Steve looped in to this. But, you know, in terms of, I don't know, NHDES is looking for this thing to get started, kind of like now. I would like to put forward that we can go ahead and approve, you know, spending this initial chunk of money, you know, to get the process going. And keep Steve looped in.
If you haven't come across anything that says we have a different avenue,
And Steve was involved in the beginning of this, and it was like Farrell said, it's in the law that we have to comply with DES.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't set well, but that's a different...
No, definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
So, I guess I will make a motion that we allow Chris to go ahead and execute, this initial part of the contract with Weston Sampson for $36,595.
Second, begrudgingly.
Yeah. Further discussion?
Perhaps just an addition is circle with the attorney and maybe just confirm that this is the process and it has to be on the timeline.
Okay, all those who approve, contracting with Weston and Sampson and, spending this first tranche of money, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so you have your motion. You bet.
Are you going to table the financial?
I think we're going to table the financial until next month, yes. Thank you. So, reports. Okay, for the month of August. 7,405 operations. Balance is 134 or 8% from the previous month. And up 16 total operations year to year. And year to date, we're off 9%. See, manager's report.
Okay, recent events. We had our Wheels and Wings event this past weekend where we had 3,500 attendees. It was a great turnout. It's probably the second busiest we've been since we've been holding this here. The other highest one, we were almost at 4,000. We had great weather. I'd like to thank quite a few people. I'm going to tell you who's involved in it from the airport. We also had the city, brought all the city vehicles, et cetera. It was all put on by Jeff DeSalvo from National Parks Department. In terms of airport-related, people related to this event, I'd like to thank National Jet Aviation, Bob Bird, and Infinity Aviation, Kevin De La Cruz. They helped me all day long. They were a great help moving all the airplanes in and out, and we worked all day together. Thank you. NAA staff, Joe Callahan, Eldon Richards, and Bob Donadio. And two volunteers, Dave Simmons and Brian Tomasetti. For exhibitors, we had State Police, Bell 407, helicopter. Unfortunately, we didn't have the Air Guard Blackhawk this year. They were committed to another event. So the State Police had their work out, putting kids in and out of their helicopter. There was a line of about 50 people all day long in that helicopter. We thank Farrell Woods. The chairman had his extra 300 out there, allowing kids to go flip the switches and turn the ELP on, et cetera. A big line of Carl's playing all day, too. Dave Shaver had his extra 300 as well out there. Greg Denning had his Kristen Eagle. Sophie Burns had her Navion and her Packard antique car, and also a 72 Mustang. Thomas Schenkel's Navion was on display. Air Direct had one of their Skyhawks, Cessna 172, with Keith Webb out there the entire day. Ray Grenier had his Varga on display. He did not have the kids in and out of that this year because he didn't have Gail to help him, and he said last year, even with the two of them, it was a workout. Bill Solidakis had his Comanche, his Mini Cooper, and I believe it was a Triumph, the other car he had on.
TR6,
yep. Thanks to Greg Leeson and Dave Fairbairn for having their Cessna 185 float plane out there, as well as Greg's King Air on display. And we also had Jeff and Logan Wall, who worked for Greg as well, in their Back to the Future mobile, the DeLorean. And they dressed up in costume. They had the hoverboard. They had the clock set up. And that was actually a huge hit for the whole show. Kids were loving it. Civil Air Patrol brought up Cessna 182. Rick DeKostick was in charge of that for the day. What else do we have? Johnny White's Catering. He brought a catering truck in this year. It was introduced to me from Mary Parker from National Jet Aviation. It was a big hit. Food was great. He had lines there all day. And the Flight Center as well had a trailer selling food. That's about it for the event. Big success, had a lot of traffic. They didn't have a police detail at first, but during the event, they realized that traffic was a problem, so we had two National Police officers that were part of the event, went out and directed traffic. Parking went well. We were able to utilize some of the University Drive parking lots. We opened up that with permission from the caretakers of the property, the old Daniel Webster College property. So all that worked out well. Yeah, looking forward to it next year. We could have had a better day with weather, too.
Chris, what was the total attendance?
3,500. Okay. Yep. And everybody that was out there, we all got sunburned. Carol's still feeling.
The weather was just stunningly nice.
So other items of interest. The shirts that we've been talking about for a while from the anonymous donor. We had those made. Everybody in the room has received a shirt. And it seemed to be a big hit. And the person that made the anonymous donation, I gave that person a shirt, and the person was thrilled to death. Couldn't have been happier. So that worked out. Scott and I, Pepperell, natural aetis, broadcast activity of Pepperell. When it's active, avoid Pepperell within 3.5 mile radius. Want to keep let everybody know about that until they shut down for the season. Wes, do you know when they start jumping?
Usually end of October.
End of October? Okay.
Yeah, it really goes to sleep.
National Airport Authority building painting is complete. We spent a couple months of prepping the building, and we had our painter come in, and the whole thing is painted and complete. He picked up a side job while he was here, and he painted Building 17 for Farrell. And I think the paint job came out excellent on the Airport Authority building. We no longer have a waterfall in Susan's office. It's all sealed up. On 8/10, Carol Nolan and George Pantelli visited Nashua to close out the Part 13 investigation that's been going on now for quite a few years. Unfortunately, I'm still waiting on a correspondence from New Hampshire DOT to actually close it out. They still had some more issues they wanted to discuss. So I'm waiting on that. 8/12, I met with City of Nashua officials from risk management and parking enforcement and provided a tour of our airport. I've been offering these up to all the people at the city, and finally had a couple people come down and do it. Also on 8/31, I had Matt Sullivan, the Director of Community Development, City of Nashua. He came and did an airport tour. And that's about it. Any questions?
I have two questions. Is the Part 13, is that the non-aviation use investigation?
Yes.
Okay. Second question, has the airport received new assessments for all of the buildings? I just received one, and it was enormous, the change in assessed property value. So I'm just curious if you received that or if
all the tenants, citywide.
Okay, and then, so what do we know what that impact is for the airport and how that changes our budget or how that... What is the impact, I guess,
for the tenants of the airport, the privately owned properties, doesn't have an effect directly on the Airport Authority.
That's tax revenue discussed with the city, right? It's not, there's no revenue stream.
Correct, no. This is all property taxes.
Okay.
So it's citywide. I'm sure your condo got it too. My house got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, did we get a reassessment for the brick hangar? Because we own that.
But we don't pay taxes on that.
Oh, we do. Okay. Because I know my assessment went up, but the assessment for the ground stayed the same.
And they did say in the letter to don't make any calculations based on the 2021 rate because the 2022 rate will be changing.
Oh, sure.
So nobody knows what it's going to be right now. I think we can all. Rest assured that it's not going down. Right. Rest assured that the overall number probably won't go down.
Yeah,
there was significant increases in many of these properties.
Okay. My town Hudson went through this exercise recently too. And the assessment for my house went up 50%.
50? Wow, that's incredible. And the property values here went up the same as the residential values? You know if that was...
I didn't look at the percentage, but I don't think so.
I mean, it all depends. I'll offer that it all depends on what they set as the tax rate. And they have a budget, and now they have a new value for the entire city, and they divide the two. So your taxes won't necessarily go up. In Brookline, we revalued, my taxes went down slightly. So if and this is commercial property, which is in different tax brackets than residential. So don't panic yet.
Except it's natural.
Like I said,
they decide what they want to do first, and then they set the tax.
That's exactly what they do.
What do we need?
Nashua does have a tax cap.
Well, but I don't think it's always enforced.
Like I said, I think I'd bet that they're not going down.
Yeah.
Vote.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you for that answer. I guess I wasn't sure if there was any impact to the MAA or our
No, the private property owners.
Okay, any other comments, questions about the manager's report? Okay, engineer report, please. All right, thanks, Carol. Nick Bolito for the reporting and Dale Associates. We are administering two projects currently on behalf of the authority. The first being the Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha and Associated Taxiway. The executed grant agreement for this project was submitted to NHDOT on July 28, 2022, which met the deadline for inclusion on the September 7th Governing Executive Council meeting. However, upon looking at the most recent agenda, and I apologize, I typed this up last week, it had not made it. The next Governing Council meeting is September 21st.
Right.
Yep.
Yes, and Matt did confirm that the grant was on the agenda for approval.
We don't know what the outcome was, though.
I'm assuming we'll receive notification, so
okay.
That the grant is ready for drawdown. We likely anticipate one reimbursement, and we'll just close out that grant because it's the design only. And then we will begin preparation for the subsequent grant to actually conduct that project. So it is recommended that the Board of Directors reach out to NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics to confirm, and that's already done, so never mind. Any questions on the Taxiway Alpha project? All right. The second project is the Rehabilitate Golf and Box Shop Ramp. The FAA reached out to let NHDOT know they do not have funding to complete both golf and foxtrot. The FAA requested that the airport provide the grant application to reflect the rehab of golf ramp only, which we've done. And Dale and Chris worked with the FAA to find a solution to fund both. I've included that in the table here so you can see that. The golf ramp rehabilitation consists of $323,140 from the airport food program. $110,785 will come from the airport bill money that they have issued. So upon issuance of the AIP portion of the grant, they will circulate contracts and begin preparing for a spring construction. Chris, can you confirm, did you receive that grant offer from the NHDOT?
We have not, but the state of New Hampshire received it in the block grant program from the FAA. But and I sent a letter out to Carol, I think we're going on about 2 weeks ago now, asking for some clarification as to the timeline, and I have not heard back from New Hampshire DOT.
All right. Well, when she does, we can forward that along.
I will.
Appreciate it. So, recommended action, but please sign and return the grant agreement upon receipt. Any questions on golf ramp?
So Nick, so for both of these projects, you list the FAA share at 100%.
The golf ramp project will be the traditional 95-5. I believe the Taxiway Alpha came out of last year's 2021 fiscal year, so that should be 100%.
I think it's just a typo on.
Yeah, I don't think there's just a typo because there's.
Yeah, so the numbers work, but yeah, no,
that's 110% project.
Thank you for that. Sure. And then under general items, Dale met with Chris and a potential hangar developer to discuss the possibility of building the hangars off of the back of the theater. I think that meeting went well. I've spoken to Steve. I'm sorry, I don't know if he wanted to remain anonymous.
Nope, that's fine.
Twice since he requested additional information which we provided. So I think sometime in the near future he would plan to approach the board and give a proposal to build those things.
So I spoke with Steve just the other day, or actually his representative, and he said that they were out here during the weekend. There's a whole bunch of stakes out in that area. They were doing some measuring and site survey, and he said they're going to try to have something ready for next month's meeting.
Okay. Any Any questions for Nick? Okay, thank you. So, moving on, we have no committee to stand. Old business, Craig Lees on Infinity Hangar Development.
So. Yeah, thanks, Farrell. I don't have a too much to share. It's been a very, very busy couple of months, so we're notably behind, but I wanted to tell you guys what's going moving forward. Everything is progressing. One thing that I did want to talk about or ask was, as we're laying out what the facility will look like and with the constraints of the parcel, one of the things that has come up is, where is the FBO itself, the, you know, the lobby and the offices and stuff like that. We had originally designed or planned on having it essentially abut this building. And one of the things that I think it was David had brought up in one of the meetings was the idea of maybe utilizing some of this building. Well, I sort of floated that idea to the architect as a possibility. Everybody get kind of excited because what it does is it obviously opens up more space for aircraft, right? And so we don't chew up any of that area. So I don't know what's going on with this facility. I don't even know how to ask that question. I don't even know if it's too premature. I'm not sure what New Hampshire, I'm sorry, what New Hampshire is doing. So is there a way we can explore that?
Yep.
And how do we do that? Because if there's something that works for everybody, then something's fine.
So their lease, so what's the expiration date on their lease? You recall? It's sometime next year, I believe.
August of 23?
And as of right now, we don't know what their plan is. They have not let the cat out of the bag.
Right. Maybe it's just not going to work out. But it obviously, you know, the more hangar space we have, the better off it is, right? So the idea of using some of the terminal area that's out here, the front desk, and, you know, the tractors. So
the lady that was in charge of real estate for SNU has moved along recently.
Yeah.
And I don't believe she's been replaced. But I will contact SNU tomorrow, and I'll start digging into that.
Okay. And that's really it. I mean, my hope was to be able to present something with some, you know, conceptual drawings and stuff at this meeting, but, you know, I would suspect we'll be ready for that. But yeah, absolutely. Any questions?
I think it's a great idea. This building would be really good for that, obviously. But wasn't there a restriction that this had to remain aviation education? And I know I've asked this in the past, but there was some education restriction, I thought. So what was that?
Yes.
What was that restriction and constraint? And does that impact whether or not you could lease it or buy it or however that works?
What I remember from that is, I could be wrong, maybe Shane can add some color here, but the last time we discussed that, I thought we assumed that we would work around. Or maybe it was just...
If there was like an FBO light school or something?
Maybe, or I forgot how we discussed it at one of these meetings, but I don't remember how we mastermind now. Or maybe we just...
I can dig into the leases for the exact language on it.
It may have been part of the original lease going way back to the day when the building was completed.
It was.
But, you know, once the bankruptcy occurred, the bankruptcy has a tendency to wipe this slate clean from there on after. So if there are any covenants running with the land at that time, they're likely not to have survived the bankruptcy because all new leases were cut out of bankruptcy when the buildings were acquired.
And that might have been what we discussed. But the original lease did, but then the new lease didn't. We did talk about it.
Yeah. Going to education, I thought it was aviation. Like, you couldn't commercially rent this out as a crossfit or something, right?
It was originally it's specifically stated for aviation education.
That's what it was. We discussed the idea that if you put flight schools in it, that's what
right.
Yeah.
The idea was that all you're going to create an
pilot's always learning.
Right. As long as you had an office.
And Infinity has a flight school.
For a school, that's exactly right.
maybe that would be a point of clarification prior to digging in even further on the possibility.
So that's a natural segue into, so is there, you know, and maybe this is way too premature, but the development of the new tower also, obviously that's involves this building, what the future of the building is. All those questions got thrown at me when I was sitting in a room, and I'm like, well, I don't think it's any of these things.
And a lot to do with the tower, Greg, are unknown at this time. We put in and we did not receive funding in the first wave. We will be submitting again, I think it's in October sometime.
Yeah.
We'll be submitting for next year's process. And I believe this goes on next through 2026. So we will continue to, you know, try to get a part of that for our tower construction.
Sure.
There's not a lot of money going throughout the whole country for this program, so it's a very competitive process.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Shane? Thank you. Chris, are there plans in the works to move the AWOS, and is that a necessary condition to move forward?
So, yes. And Nick could probably speak to that. More specifically, the AWOS has to be moved, and we've been talking with the Hampshire DOT and FAA about this for a few years now.
The master plan has a new location.
Right.
Yes.
So it would end up out in the infield, just north of Delta. Mm-hmm. Nick, do you have any more to add to that? Or?
Well, it is something that can be funded by the FAA. It's just going to be a matter of shoehorning it into the CIP. I did review the CIP that we discussed last year with NATOT, and it's slated to have FRE this year. I don't know what the latest developments with the FAA sort of prohibiting specifying certain types of equipment if you still want to undertake that project. If not, you can slide into this year relatively easily. But I think we'll have to discuss that when we conduct our CIP meeting.
Yes. With Carol.
Has any CIP reached out to schedule with them, Carol?
She mentioned that when she was here.
She did, but she hasn't scheduled anything yet.
None of our New Hampshire airports have received any correspondence to that effect, so perhaps we should reach out to her. I think Manchester had a CIP meeting within the past couple of months. That I actually laid in a phone call to Ted Kitchen. So moving on, we have no new business, upcoming events. I don't think we have any on the slate at the moment.
Snow's coming.
And, okay, so that brings us to public input. Do we have any public input before we close out the meeting? Okay, going once, going twice, okay. Director's comments, so I'll start with Joe.
Nothing specific this month, though.
Jeff?
Thanks to Chris and his team. Keep everything running smoothly. Nice to see you all in person.
It's good to see you in person, too. That's cool. But, I was very impressed with the job Kevin did on our building. I'd also like to call out Eldon, because I think didn't he do all of the power washing?
The vast majority of it, yes.
Yes, and that did not look like a fun task.
No.
So, that was quite a bit of work.
And he did a great job. Even Kevin the painter was like, wow, you can get him this clean. This is perfect. The building was in tough shape, so it had to be done.
When Kevin came down to do my building, some folks were in one of the hangars doing an epoxy floor or something like that. And it's like they were asking Kevin the painter, it's like, hey, how did you strip the southeast side of the building? I mean, it's all down to like bare metal. It's like,
No, that's just 20 years or more of wear.
Yeah, he liked that there was no prep work on the building. The son took care of all of it.
So anyway, that's it for my comments. And so I would like to move to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A:3(2)(a) the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee. Okay. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting to executive session, say aye. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye.